Hold on one second, okay? Just give me a second. Just gotta psych myself up here. B, it's gonna be a good show. First of all, I need you to chill. Just chill. Breathe, all right? It's supposed to be fun. Fuck the anxiety. Fuck the world. Now get out there and have some goddamn fun. Welcome, bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B. A.K.A. Gaston Lucien Lebenor.
That boy is good.
Yeah. All right. Today's episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on this day, June 25, 2025. Yes, I have to remind you that I'm sitting on stolen land. Today's episode is rated R and F. F is for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast is not for you. That's right, okay? All right, step one. I'm going to ask first shout out to all you listeners. And first thing I need you to do is applaud yourself. And if this happens to be your first time listening to this podcast, welcome. Yay! Sorry, something's in my throat. Yeah, new listeners. Yeah, welcome. And here's hoping I say something that resonates and allows us to make history. ShutUpPodcast.com is the website, and ShutUpPodcast411@gmail.com is the email address. Today's episode, title 277, I don't know what the title is yet. I'm not sure what I'm going to go for title, but what I can tell you in the feature thought, or the last thing, the last word on today's episode, I'm going to talk about a video on TikTok that reminded me of how deep the wounds of workplace racism can run. You know, I fucking hate that description. That's me. Stop using AI for that shit. All right, nah, man. I just saw a video on TikTok. I'll elaborate on the content creator's name, and she said something that made me feel seen, and I'm just going to talk about that shit. Okay. Now, before I do that, sticking with tradition, we're going to do some, I'm going to share some quotes and some randomness. Jesus. Sorry, gang.
So, you're a philosopher?
Okay, let's start with, quotes, that's right. I was about to do some randomness. Nice try, me. Okay, first quote goes, Okay, gaslighting. Gaslighting is when they don't want to talk about their actions, only your reactions. Next one, and the last one, is not everything that is faced can be changed, but nothing can be changed unless it's faced. James Baldwin. So, apropos, all this shit, I swear, is all going to relate.
So, you're a philosopher?
Okay, randomness time. Let's start with... This is where I make a joke about sucking on a fisherman's friend. And for my American friends, or I don't know if that's it's in maybe people outside of Ontario, Google it. It's a lozenger, goddammit. Excuse me. All right, okay, so first item. Break from the heat, gang. It's today is what, let me get today's temperature. It's 28 degrees. Feels like 28 degrees. But yeah, I know the first couple of days was hot as motherfucking hell. Hotter than the devil's testicle. Is that the expression? Whatever, but it was fucking, Jesus Christ, it was hot. And I, On Monday, it was 37. My American friend converted that to, I think it's 96 degrees Fahrenheit. And yeah, man, pray for my AC units. They were working overtime. But yeah, no, all this to say that I love this time, this brief moment during the summer when it goes from blazing hot and then summer takes a brief break and I can turn off my AC unit for a break. Like it's to like tomorrow, it's going to drop to like 19 degrees. Going to drop to 19 degrees. I'm laughing because it reminds me of the time where I was in a trip in Jamaica. Actually, technically, it wasn't Jamaica. It was a resort in Jamaica. And yeah, huge difference. Not the Jamaica I was expecting. Not the point. But I was in a resort in Jamaica, and it was constantly 30 degrees, and then the temperature dropped to 26 degrees. Now, being used to cold weather, I was used to this shit. But I remember I was talking to one of the staff there. Brother was telling him about like it dropped, it rained and then it dropped to 26 degrees. And homie was like, damn, I need to get a sweater. So I punched him for making me feel like a white boy. Okay, part of that story may not be true. It dropped to 25 degrees. Hey, all right, okay, no, I'm kidding. But whatever. But my point is, I'm laughing at the fact that you just heard me say, it's gonna drop to 19 degrees. And 19 degrees ain't shit, but it's gonna feel cold. Like, I'm going to be wearing a sweater tomorrow. All right, okay. Break from the heat.
So, you're a philosopher?
All right. This is a little bit on, I'm thinking of my last therapy session. Okay, here, long story short, if my life was a movie, it'd be boring as fuck. No, okay, more importantly, if my life was a movie, you'd be yelling at the screen. Like, I'm the main character, and there'd be several moments where you'd be like, man, just fucking do it already. Holy shit. Quit bitching about it. Just fucking do it. Jesus Christ. Now, my new challenge, again, this is a podcast. This is a podcast. I'm still talking about getting back into comedy. The will is there. I have in my mind, I have like sets idea, and I keep constantly having images of myself on stage, doing comedy. But when it comes to actually doing it, when it comes to like, you know, just fucking get your black ass to a club, I'm I froze. But one thing's for sure is I realized that you can't bully your way into changing a habit, better behavior, or a desired outcome. I mean, sure, it's worked once or twice, but in this particular case, it's gonna... Okay, the point of the story is, the one end is I'm like yelling at myself, it's like, B, quit bitching, just fucking do it. But on the other end, I'm accepting the fact that I have the faith that I'm going to go when I'm good, goddamn ready to go. And the whole bullying myself is not going to work, man. So, yeah, on one end, I keep looking at it as a movie. But on the other end, I'm like, take your time, man. Take your time that you need. And, yeah, maybe it's just fuck going into bars, being around people. And all I know is I've committed myself to stop bitching about how I still haven't gone on stage in therapy sessions. It's more like at some point I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward to my therapy session where I'm crying about that one set that bombed. And it hurts. Stuff like, yeah. Because there's no fucking way I'm crying on my own. I'm doing it in front of my therapist. All right, okay, but yeah. Anyway, look, Oh, wait a minute. I forget. It's my goddamn podcast. Yes. Pray for me. At some point, it's going to happen. Oh, shit. Another thing is, I'm thinking about this joke. I just haven't formulated it, but it's how much I enjoy the sound of unqualified white man bitching about DEI. There's something about that. Yeah, like a white person who's like was never going to get the job, but will find the audacity to say like the reason I didn't get the job is goddamn DEI. All right, okay. Next.
So you're a philosopher?
I had a moment where I'm thinking of making the title of today's episode Blood to the Concrete, Tears to Soil. And why? Because it's from the song, it's from a rap song by X-Clan, A Day of Outrage, Operation Snatchback. And it's a song that I used to listen to back in the days. It's a rap track about, I'll read you the specific. It goes, the song commemorates a day of outrage, a demonstration in Brooklyn in late August, 1989, to protest the racist murder of Yusuf Hawkins and other recent outrage against the NYC black community. The marchers took to the Brooklyn Bridge and subsequently fought with the police. It's even a video. All right, okay. And, the march was organized by activist Sonny Carson and a group of black, and the group Blackwatch. Blackwatch founder and Sonny Carson's song, Robert Lumumba Carson, was better known as to the world as X-Clan's Professor X. May he rest in peace. And look, I think hip hop was what I listened to help me my hurt feelings from racism. I was a sensitive soul, by the way, that's what the topic's gonna be about. But yeah, but I'm remembering how racism would take a toll on me, whether it be with the teachers, whether it be class, would it just be a simple N-word, would it just be fucking hearing about some black person brutalized by the police, or would it just be like, you know, learning about history that didn't get taught in school, but it would like sting, it would constantly sting at me, and what would help me heal was rap songs like this. It could be like Tupac, but whatever. Rap songs about racism and at the core, I had a sense that someone understands what I'm going through. Someone feels what I feel. Someone can relate to what I'm feeling. Fun fact, I actually enjoy watching videos of people getting their ass kicked for saying the N-word. Because I look at those videos and say, someone understands what I'm feeling. But that's not the point. The reason where I'm going, I just got went on a tangent. But what I was trying to get at is how, at a moment of, especially when it comes to X-Clan, at a moment when I realized that I don't pay enough. This is going to be a weird thing to say. I don't pay enough attention to lyrics as much as I thought I did. And what I mean by that is I was looking at the lyrics for this song, actually for other songs too, but I'm going to focus on this one, and notice that, holy shit, I got some lines completely wrong. Like, for instance, the first line, blood to the concrete, tears to soil. I thought it said tears, like ripped through the soil. This makes way more sense. there's another line. He goes, and there's another man, another word for the other man's for war, raised to a planet from a cave boy oppressor. Great one sends the aggressor. Thought you weren't coming, but it seems you made an error. Wrench in the mill work, systematic terror on a rise, has arrived. Cornered by the order, checkmate sucker, not a move, game over. I thought he was saying quarter by the order. That makes no sense. Look, first of all, French is my first language. English is my second language, excuse me. And I'm going with that excuse. Two, I don't know. A friend of mine told me if you have ADD, Some of us don't hear lyrics as good or don't notice lyrics as well as I'm going to give you a shitload of excuse to why it makes sense that I would misunderstand a lot of these lyrics. But one of my favorite pastimes is reading lyrics and enjoying and being not surprised. I don't want to use the word surprised, but being in awe in the genius of the writer. Because most of the times it's the beat that gets me. In the case for X-Clan, it's usually like they just certain lines. The lines that I understand is like enough to be like, wow, this is like the lines that I hear is enough to be like, wow, this guy's a genius. But when I read the lyrics, I'm like, fuck. clock's bending backwards. Many cannot get with me. Yeah, no, it's amazing, man. Anyway, all this to say that I need a better time. Pay more attention to lyrics. Okay, another line is, problem to the truth, they bring me to my face. I'm outraged as I write the page. A sun-forged sword mints a wimp 12 gauge. Excuse me. A sun-forged sword mints a wimp 12 gauge. Any day, my son, I don't like guns. I don't like roses that I step on for fun in the first place. Third base at my home, waiting for your pitch so I could chrome your dome. A brother grand slam cuts a vine like butter. Pick up my monkey and back to the mother. The reason I'm reading that, I think he's, yep, he is dissing third base. One is for third base. Anyway, all right, man. Yo, dope ass lyrics. Especially when I'm high, let's put it that. But anyway, whatever, man. Shout out to the X-Clan.
So you're a philosopher?
Okay. Next item is, did I really close? No, I didn't. Okay. Be patient with yourself. All right. Okay. So for this next one, I'm just going to play a part of it and share my thoughts, but it starts with the statement, corporate culture, that's the title, corporate culture is white supremacy culture. And it's going to segue to my final thought.
Corporate culture is white supremacy culture, and the 10th characteristic of white supremacy culture is... fear of open conflict. Mm. Fear of open conflict has burned so many careers, it is not even funny. This is the most corporate thing I've ever heard. If you are harmed at your job, there is an unwritten expectation that you are just supposed to shut up and take it. This is what it looks like in practice, and this is from dismantlingracism.org. It says, people in power are scared of expressed conflict and try to ignore it or run from it. And notice, it's saying people in power, so the people that actually can do something about the conflict. When someone raises an issue that causes discomfort, the response is to blame the person for raising the issue, yep, rather than to look at the issue that is actually causing the problem.
The content creator's name is, I'm commenting on, is Becoming Gaudra. Excuse me, Becoming Audra. Audra, A-U-D-R-A. Okay, so first thought that comes to mind is, like I said, I'm going to put, yeah, like the portion. First thought that comes to mind is when I heard this clip is I'm thinking of a homegirl who in my less enlightened days, we were just catching up and she was telling me about this new job at lunch, right? She was talking about the new job she has and she told me how she was in a situation where she had to report her employer for sexual harassment. And again, I was not enlightened. I didn't tell her anything. I was just let her talk and, you know, good for her. And I remember thinking in the back of my mind is, man, I wish you would have talked to me before you did that. Because I was going to try to talk her out of it. Because exactly what she, the lady just, what Audra just said, is because I had picked up that survival. Oh my God, I'm just realizing what... Oh my God, I had realized that I picked up that survival in that environment meant don't make any waves, go with the flow, you're supposed to laugh this shit off, and like I didn't realize at the time that I should have applauded her. I forgot to add, The other thing, what she said is, after she filed for sexual harassment, she was ostracized by her coworkers. And that's when I was like, yeah, homegirl, man, you got to play the game. You got to learn to laugh at these crackers. I honestly thought that survival in that environment was appeasing the worst human beings in that environment, because the best ones are fucking weak, can't do shit to help you out. Because the worst in that environment usually have the power. The fact that she put it in the context of white supremacy, yeah, no, because it makes sense to me. I know to a lot of, some of you, you'll be confused, but I get it. I just can't find the words to make the link. But anyway, so I told you about my homegirl, sexual harassment. Fast forward to myself, and I had won't go into details, but long story short, I had a racist incident in the workplace, and it was enough for me to be like, fuck that. Well, what didn't help is the racist incident happened around the time of the death of George Floyd. So that put me in a fuck, how much can a nigga take? And then, so that fast forward again, remember that story, because I'm going to talk about it in the feature thought. Okay, so, but it was enough for me, like, to, like, snap. Look, I snap. And let's just say I ended up going on stress leave over the incident. And the way they addressed the problem is by, you know, hey, okay, well, I'll tell you what. We're just going to shuffle. Look, okay, again, I won't go into details. But it was, by the way they handled it, it made me realize that, yeah, they expected me to tolerate that shit. They pretended to act and whatever, man. Look, man, stress leave, therapy, and then now come back a different person. But I remember, this doesn't just go to sexual harassment or racism. It also goes to like toxic work environment, like toxic people, and like everyone. In that environment, everyone works around, has to like circumvent the toxic thing. Toxic people don't get removed. Anyway, but I remember someone at work, like fast forward, so after the racist incident, someone at work did something toxic or just spoke to me in a manner that was very unprofessional. Like, and this person was toxic. It was just like, you know, got problems at home, so I'm bringing it to work. And they just spoke to me in a manner I really didn't like. And usually I would have brushed it off, but I remember, again, therapy, man. I was at a point where, like, fuck that shit. Nah, they're feeling my wrath. But when the incident happened, I didn't, like, respond to it at the time, because at the time I was just like, did that just fucking happen? Anyway, time went by, And the other thing I forgot to mention is a coworker was present when it happened, right? Time went by, and I ended up confronting this person, like, it just came out. And I wasn't, like, rough. I wasn't like, man, fuck you, whatever, man. But I just, like, brought it up. Just caught the dude off guard. Caught everyone off guard. And I remember after the incident how the coworker who was there, they were like, yo, dude, what the fuck? And it just, like, I remember feeling guilty about it, but going for, man, fuck y'all for expecting the rest of us to react in an appropriate manner. This motherfucker who initiated the problem was never, like, didn't think about handling, not being inappropriate. Look, I guess my theory is, and whatever, and I don't care who disagrees with it, is there is no right way to handle disrespect, right? You see that shit and you just stay idly by. I guess what I'm getting at is you stay idly by is the expectation that, oh, wow. We're just going to talk behind this person back about how they're a toxic person, as opposed to like, nah, fuck that. Let's remove the bad element from the bunch. I don't know, man. Look, I'm saying, man, this system is fucked up. Corporate culture is fucked up. I'm just going to leave it at that. So shout out to becoming Audra. You know, one last point. I know she made reference that she said that the game is rigged against neurodivergent women. And I don't know if you noticed that I just noticed in the comment section, the patriarchy hates to be confronted. Well said. On this podcast, once my goddamn podcast, I do share a lot of content created by women, and some of that content has been targeted to women. And it took me a while to accept that, yo, the person I am, I've realized that I have a lot in common with some women than I have with most men, or at least most of the men in my circles. So yeah, no, I heard the message and it resonated with me, and I'm sharing it, even if I may or may not have been the target audience whatever. No, I don't think like she was like, oh, only women, but like, I don't think she meant that. But I think she was trying to heal. But yeah, no, I'm okay with that. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm okay with that. So shout out to the ladies, looking out for each other's. Because men, on the other hand, that's another conversation. But on that note, this concludes Quotes and Randomness. Let's jump into some feature thought. But before I do that, sticking with tradition, we're going to take a quick break. I'm a little emotional. I just watched a video by Tony Nagy. I guess I mentioned that name before. And it's called "Do You Fear the Cringe?" I felt like I felt like directly. I moved, man. I'm inspired. I'm empowered to continue with the rest. All right. I'll tell you what. I'll put the link in the show notes. Hold on. Let me just before I forget, because I can't trust my memory here. Bing! All right. Okay. Let's get on with the show, man. All right. Okay. Let's go. Where was I? All right. get up. Okay. I'm like, sorry, gang. I forget I have an audience in with me. TikTok was open and the notifications were on, and I'm reading this notification I got on some comment, and I'm forgetting that. Oh shit, I'm in the middle of recording. All right, okay. Boom. I don't. Boom. Close this. Okay. So, next clip. Now, this next clip is in French. I'm gonna play the whole thing. No, I'm gonna play the part and stop it to the part that's relevant to the thought I want to share, and take it from there. Okay, all right. But links are in the show notes. Did I remember to say that? Everything that I talked, the links are in the show notes, so you can look the shit up yourself. But yeah, so I'm playing a video by content creator Sarelle Babe. Pierre Française, she's a French content creator, and from Montréal, la province du Québec, and she came out of hiatus, and she just posted a recent video, and I'm just going to play it now.
Hello, TikTok gang. Je me présente en vrai, Sarelle B. C'est la première fois que vous me voyez... pas en personnage, pas en mode Manon, pas en mode Aurélie, pas en mode Aminata, juste moi, naturel. Ça, c'est mon accent réel. Je viens de Montréal, Québec, Canada, for those who don't know. J'ai créé cette compagnie fictive, cette chaîne, tous ces beaux personnages, en fait, pour parler d'un sujet très important qui nous touche de près ou de loin, la discrimination, le racisme. Et j'ai décidé de le focaliser sur la discrimination et le racisme en milieu de travail. Histoire courte, j'en ai vécu beaucoup. J'ai souvent été la seule personne noire ou la seule personne de couleur dans certains postes que j'ai occupés. Et puis... Ben c'est ça fait la différence. Donc, j'ai vécu, surtout à il y a plusieurs années de cela, certains chocs, certaines maladresses. Et c'est à partir de là que m'est venue l'idée de créer des personnages. J'ai toujours fait de l'imitation depuis que je suis tout petite. Je pense que j'ai commencé, j'avais peut-être 3 ans. Et la famille me disait tout le temps, oh, viens faire des blagues, viens faire des blagues, viens imiter ci, viens imiter ça. Fait que l'idée d'imiter des accents, des gens, de reproduire des scènes, ça, c'est venu de mon enfance. Mais l'idée de le faire particulièrement sur le racisme et la discrimination, c'est vraiment venu avec un certain vécu. Moi, j'adore, je suis une grande fanatique de transformer des situations négatives en positives, puis ça, c'est un très bon exemple pour moi. Peu importe le type d'entreprise ou le type d'emploi qu'on exerce, le respect, c'est toujours la clé. J'ai vu beaucoup, beaucoup de gens au fil des temps faire des dépressions, burn-out, name it, quitter des emplois ou péter des coches, littéralement, pour une multitude de raisons, puis ils étaient souvent pas compris, ces gens-là. Donc, moi, je me donne comme mission, je vais même dire, on se donne comme mission, en parlant de la gang d'Imerco, de venir remédier un peu à cette problématique, à cette situation à laquelle beaucoup, beaucoup de gens font face. Shout out à tous les gens dans les commentaires.
All right, okay. I first need to stop saying, all right, okay. I'm lying. I'm gonna still do it. I'm still feeling a little more emotional, guy. Snap out of it, B. Snap the fuck out of it. Okay. She goes on to say the reason she's been in hiatus is because her father passed away, and so she took a break. And but links are in the show notes. You can hear it for yourself. That's how you notice how she speaks French and English. That's shout out to TikTok, by the way, for not just TikTok, but shout out to the French content creators on TikTok. Let me be more specific: the French and Canadian content creators on TikTok. Because back in the days, I didn't think you people existed. Oh, no, I knew you existed, but back then, it was curated by the man, by the TV, people, TV, and most of the shit that they put out sucked. Oh, I'm sure someone else enjoyed it, but I wasn't one of them. But this shit here, I would have never discovered Cyril Big. And the character she performs, she plays a lot, or one of her characters that she does is her name is Manon Boivin Imerco. Manon Boivin. What's Imerco though? Doesn't matter. Anyway, let me focus. Right. So the part that got my attention in her presentation, in her talk, is how she starts out by saying that, yo, I started out making this content focused on bringing to light the realities of being the one black person working in a white work environment, and how she likes to, her intention was to take negative situation into turning lemon to lemonade. And there's some delicious lemonade, and yeah, no, her shit is fucking hilarious, man. And but I remember I joked in the comment section. I said that because she said that, yo, this is all this stuff, all this shit that I make is all based on shit that happened to me. And I joked with, I told her, happened to you. This shit is based on characters in your life. I thought they were based on characters in my life. Just to say that, yo, the shared reality, like she did an amazing job at getting us to laugh at our shared pain. There we go. And the part that got me, the first thing is she mentions how, like on the idea of turning negatives into positive, is she mentioned how she knew people who, when they faced racism in their workplaces, they had burnouts, stress leave, depression, and she used a term in French that it's a new one, péter la coche. I think it means like outrage, péter la coche. Let me just look this up quickly. Péter une coche, définition, je parle québécois, yeah, of course. Péter la coche, expression québécoise qui signifie avoir marre. Péter le plomb, s'énerver. Yeah, s'énerver, that's what I thought. Lose your shit, essentially. Lose your shit. That's what I thought it meant. And I think I'm going to, it goes back to when I was talking about the track, A Day of Outrage. I was listening to her story and I was thinking about how, first, you know, I could talk about microaggressions, you know, death by a thousand cuts. But in my particular situation, those death to a thousand cuts, the accumulated microaggression caused me to explode, but inside. I wasn't harming anyone, but I was harming my own self because of just internalizing all this microaggression / racism and never having an outlet to process it like she did. Like I said, man, shit set me into a depression and in the therapy. And part of my journey into therapy is because I couldn't picture any way to release what was inside in a way that was safe and wouldn't land me in jail and legal. Like, every time I thought about these incidents, I could only think about violence. And what's fucked up is I'm not a violent person, but I was raised to be a boy. And all us men, all us boys, we all raised to the only emotions you're allowed to express is rage. And you can cry, but your homie better be dead. Better be for your dead homie or some shit like that. But even there, there's fucking limits. And yeah, it was only like, no one teaches you how to like, okay, it's okay to feel anger. This is what you do next. I was raised, surrounded by men who were like, emotions are no, it's insignificant. You're supposed to like dust that shit off. Walk it off, nigga. Walk it off. But if you feel like flipping a table, yeah, that's masculine shit. Yes. What? Your girlfriend cheated on you. What, man? Punch a wall. Now go, let's go fuck up this dude. You know what I mean? Like, there was never any... Look, man, therapy has taught me shit that I should have learned as a young child. Had to learn it as an adult. How to process emotions. And add the fact that I'm in... highly sensitive type. So, yeah, I needed to learn shit like that. But that's one. The other thing that Homegirl made me think about is how... Man, and I post this on Blue Sky. Kids, folks, don't send your black child to a white school. And yeah, I know some people will disagree with that, but I'm speaking out of my own experience. I'm not telling you what to do. This is just me articulating my own experience because I'm thinking about everything they got wrong. My white teachers got wrong. So the one black kid surrounded by white kids. And I realized that, yo, when it came to racism, the solution was always just brush it off. Just walk it off. Just ignore it, man. Just ignore. What? They called you the N-word? You're a better person. You know, and you got these white teachers who misunderstood Martin Luther King's attention to nonviolence. Like, you know what? What would Martin Luther King do? He wouldn't fight back. My point is, I was never given the weapons to confront, to deal with racism. It was always ignore it or just brush it off. Now, you got to remember, I'm surrounded by white people. And from a white person's perspective, it would make sense for them to be like, racism doesn't bother me, so it shouldn't bother you. There is no such thing as race. Or racism is just something you black people created to piss us off. You know, those were my teachers. What? Someone called you the N-word? Wait, hold on. Calm down. Okay, first of all, were you being a nigger? Hold on. Let's make sure. Like, let's tell me what happened, and let me determine whether you were being a nigger, whether you deserve to be called a nigger. Again, white fucking teachers. Like, you can't tell. I'm actually angry as I'm telling you this, but that's the joke. I still remember how Teacher Solutions to Racism was telling us kids that we're all the same. I went to a French school. We had this song, and then it went, "Onitos, pare, pare, pare." I've said this story before. If you've been listening to this podcast, some of this shit is like, oh, this is repetitive. But anyway, whatever, man. Shout out to the new audience. Yeah, I translate in English. It's "We are all the same." That's the song, and that style. Teachers figured that this will get these white kids to stop calling these black kids nigger by telling them we're all the same. We're not, but I mean, come on, let's stop doing that shit. Stop bringing up this racism. You're making things inconvenient for us. Jesus Christ. I heard the story. I forget the characters involved. This was on a podcast by Emily Nicolai, right? I forget the name of her guest. And homeboy was talking about how he had a racist incident in school. And he said, yo, teach, I think you're being racist. You know what they did to them? Teacher got mad and he got in trouble. For the black kid got in trouble for telling his teacher, dude, I think you're doing some racist shit. Like, he got in trouble for, how dare you accuse me, a good white man, of being racist, nigger. You're calling me racist as bad as dropping the N-word. You know, it's like that kind of fucking logic. And that's what I mean by, don't send your black child to a white school. They're gonna fuck them up, man. And I know some of you are asking, where are your parents in this? And I'm thinking about it, man. Man, those, you know, I still work with the logic. They did the best they could with what they knew. They came here from Haiti. And sometimes I wonder what was their experience when they first landed in Canada. And you know, because they came from Haiti where they're like surrounded by black people. Then they come to Canada and they're surrounded by white people. And I wonder if their thought was, hey, we are closer to the people of Israel. We are closer to the skin color, to the people the Bible talks about. I don't know, whatever, man. But but it never occurred to them. I understand, because, you know, went to school, but it never occurred to them that, oh, we should talk to these kids about race. They didn't understand, or they didn't have concept of self-esteem or self-identity. It wasn't a thing for them. Like, even them, like, for them, their biggest priority is, yo, whatever the fuck you kids do, don't embarrass us in this white man's country. We're a guest. They've graciously, with the love of Jesus, they've graciously accepted us in this great country. They've graciously let us leave our shithole country and come to this white paradise and be amongst them. So don't fuck that up. Now, let's go to church. Like, my parents didn't have, like, culture. For them, it was religion over everything. And by religion, I mean white Jesus. So they didn't know, oh, some kid called you nigger? Well, whatever you do, just don't. Whatever, however you react to it, just don't, like, fucking go to jail over it. Yeah, don't hit anyone. You know what I mean? Just, I don't think. I don't think, they didn't say fight back, but they didn't offer any solutions I can work with. Whoa, 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 calm the fuck down. Calm down. I don't think they've ever said it's just a word, but the teachers did say. They probably just said, like, whatever your teachers tell you to do, go with that. Don't fucking get in trouble. But there was never any solutions. And anyway, no, I'm just saying, man, racism wasn't a big deal to these white folks, and they figured shouldn't be a big deal to you either. But anyways, I forgot that I wrote notes. I'm going off the top of my dome here, but let me try to summarize this. These thoughts here is sorry, gang. I'm usually more organized. No, that's not true. I'm so me Chris the nut. All right, okay. So first thought was yeah. So I the spark watching her video. I thank her. I thank you, Sarah, for your vulnerability, clarity, and her clarity about racism. And no, I thank you for your content, man. And shout out to, you know, your inspiring content and sharing your own stories. Yeah. Oh, man. Man, fuck these notes. Holy, I actually said what I wanted to say without even these notes. Man, I freestyled this shit. All right. Okay. I'm going to wrap this up, man. I'm saying thank you. And thank you for other content creators out there. I think it was Lauryn Hill. I can't, some artist about how, like, shout out to the artists out there that create content, music, art that helps the rest of us go through this thing called life, or that helps us exist while being black, or just help us get through this. I remember my white music teacher, he's saying that, like, yo, if it wasn't for music, I wouldn't want to live anymore. And at the time, I was too young to understand what he meant, but I remember thinking, what does a white boy like you know about music? But whatever, man. But now I am saying that, yes, man, I am heavenly grateful for not just you musicians, man, you comedians, you content creators, and all that. Holy shit, I'm gonna do some improv. But holy fuck. Sorry, I just had a solution. Okay. I'll tell you about that, man. But I'm just saying thank you for all y'all content creators that allow me to consume music, that just allow me to help me get by, get through this day, get through this journey called life. I'm never going to be able to, in my mind, I can pay you back, but my plan is to show you that I understand. We all appreciate. So I know that's Dear Mama by Tupac, but I feel the same gratefulness Pac felt for his mother. I'm feeling for these content creators who birthed these beautiful shit to help me get through things. Okay, so the reason I'm laughing is because I'm realizing that I think I'm gonna do what I did before. Is okay, maybe getting back into comedy might be difficult, but one thing I am wanting to do is getting back into some improv. Holy shit, maybe improv I could start doing. But all right, okay, focus, B. All right, okay. J'ai faim là, je vais manger. So let's wrap this up, man. I think I'm done here. Excuse me, I am done. Gonna wrap this up with a beautiful bow that goes.
So you're a philosopher?
All right. Yes, because I think very deeply. This concludes today's episode. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed recording it on this empty stomach. Website, shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Now, this is my way of saying holla if you hear me. If anything I said through this podcast resonated, you know, holla if you hear me, like Tupac said. Before I end the show, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue.
Rouge et bleu. Rouge et bleu.
I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario and Télé-Québec. I also represent and hold it down for black folks who say yes. The big ruse question,
are you an outcast?
Are you an outcast? This episode was rated R and F. F for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. By the way, part of this fuck Whitey statement is also, again, grew up in whiteness. And yeah, to talk about race was, again, learning how to survive. I knew that talking about race would upset Whitey. I worked around white fragility. And on this podcast, we say fuck white fragility. Again, you're the one who hit play. Thank you for listening. And remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.